Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
Persecution. And here in the United States, we don't face that type of persecution. We really face inconvenience. There are things that have happened that are inconvenient to our faith. But we're not under the gun like these young men were. But bow or die. Put yourself in that situation this morning, that if somebody came in right now with a machine gun and walked right up to where you are and said, "Coach, are you a Christian? And if so, we're taking you out today." What would your decision really be? Because I'm going to be real, I'm struggling with that thing. Because my heart and my intention is to say, yeah, I love Jesus. But when you are under the gun or in the fire, you don't know what you would say. But these boys, they already made up in their mind that they would not bow to a golden image. So what images are you bowing to this morning? Is it the golden image of your job, that your job is now your idol? Is it your money? You love money. Money is neither good nor bad. It's a medium of exchange. It's a medium of exchange. And we need money. I like money. Problem is when I love it. Because the love of it is the evil. So what's your idol this morning? Is it your spouse? Your identity can be an idol. That you fall in love with yourself so much that you start worshiping yourself. Carl Rove this morning, your political platform can be your idol. That you are so in love with Trump, the Republican Party, you're in love with the Democratic Party, that it trumps, no pun intended, your Christian identity. All that should lead to who you are, but it should never trump who you are. And the church has been torn apart, and the world has been torn apart, because we're going to hold on to our political platform and sometimes make it an idol instead of holding on to the platform of the kingdom. What's your idol this morning? Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not," are you there this morning? Do you have some "but if nots" in your conversation? Boys, because dilute the first statement, they're just trusting in the sovereign plan of a holy God. So they say, "But if not, and does not deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Can you see resolve in their lives? Can you see the commitment? Can you see and understand that this king, Nebuchadnezzar, has set up a golden image which is about 90 feet high in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon, and he's all the important people, the who's of the kingdom, to the dedication of this idol, this gold, 90-foot stature. It's beautiful, standing all by itself. And he's saying at the sound of the music, everybody should bow and worship the image which I set up. And something that you have to understand about this king is that this king has a huge ego and a huge pride. And I say this where I'm going this morning, be careful about your ego and be careful about your pride. Many of people are in trouble because of their own ego and their own pride. See, pride comes before all. And there are so many people that are falling because their pride is so big that God can't even speak to them because of their pride and because of their ego. The king has huge pride. The problem is in chapter 2, Daniel, who is not even mentioned in chapter 3, interprets the king's dream. And the king believed in Daniel's God, but he didn't believe in Daniel's God enough to trust God. So his ego and pride got in the way. Coming back. The idols that you set up, is that idol replacing God? I want you to struggle with this morning, and that's taking my time. These guys refuse to bow. This is one of the greatest affirmations of faith in the entire Bible, that they're willing to put their lives on the line, and they refuse to bow. I call that extraordinary commitment. They believe nothing was too hard for God. That even if God allowed them to be placed in the fire, that's not too hard for God. They believe that God would move on their behalf. Why? Because nothing is too hard for God. When God allows you to get into those fiery trials, do you really believe that nothing is too hard for Him? That when you're struggling in your marriage, do you really believe that nothing is too hard for Him? When mama has cancer and daddy is struggling and your parents are sick and you are miles away, you can't do anything. The best thing you can do is pray. That when your father-in-law or somebody in your family is on life support and you have to make this tough decision to turn life support off, do you really believe that God is strong enough to take that situation, turn it around, bless you, give you enough energy, give you enough strength, give you enough joy, give you enough peace to make it through it, that fiery trial? Nothing is too hard for God. But do we really believe that? We come to church and we sing our songs and we clap our hands and we leave right out of here and we are placed in a fiery trial and we stress out, we lose sleep, we pull our hair out, we cry ourselves to bed, we make stuff bigger in our mind than it really is, because 90% of the time, the things that we think about in our mind never come to pass. Have you been there? You blew the situation up, but when the situation showed up, it never happened like you thought. Is anything too hard for God this morning? That when you go through those fiery trials, God will show up. I'm excited that these boys knew that God was sovereign. How did they know? Because in Daniel chapter 1, God showed up. That when they was challenged to eat from the king's table, they refused to defile themselves with the king's food. And they were tested 10 days, and God showed up. And at the end of chapter 1, they was promoted. Chapter 2, stay with me. The king was struggling with a dream. Nobody in the kingdom could interpret the dream. But it was the gifts that God gave Daniel and his friends in chapter 1 that used in chapter 2. God showed up. At the end of chapter 2, they were promoted. Press the pause button. Some of you are struggling right now. You're stressed out. You're crying. You wonder how the bills gonna get paid. You're crying over friends that left you. It's tough. Have you forgot about chapter 1 of your life? That in chapter 1, God delivered you. In chapter 2, God healed you. In chapter 1, you needed peace and He gave it to you. In chapter 1, you needed joy and He gave it to you. In chapter 1, the friends ran out and He gave you a true friend. Sometimes you have to slow down long enough to remember chapter 1 while you're in chapter 3. Slow down and remember chapter 1. Yes. And then if you can't think back too far, go to chapter 2. Amen. That He promoted you. And even when you was in the fire, He promoted you. So let me say this. Sometimes when God promotes you, intensity will come that will challenge your commitment. Amen. God promoted these boys. Chapter 1, boom, promotion. Chapter 2, boom, promotion. And now chapter 3, I promoted you. Now let me see if you're going to remain faithful. God will promote us on our jobs and give us the stuff we're asking for and give us the stuff that we've been praying for. And soon as he promotes us, we say, God, thank you, I'm going somewhere else. God, thank you, I'm not going to pray as much. God, thank you, I'm not going to be as committed. When God promotes you, you better be sure that you remain more faithful, because as he promotes you, fire will come. So that's why don't rush to get promoted. Stop letting people promote you and let God promote you. So here we go. Here's the questions I want you to write down this morning. Here's the questions I want you to write down. Number one, make sure you have this up, Brandon. Will I stand when no one else is standing? Will I stand? Teenagers, high school, when nobody else on the campus is standing for righteousness and holiness, will you stand? Number two, am I willing to give my life for my biblical convictions? So now I just presupposed that you have biblical convictions. What convicts you according to God's word? When I mess up and pastor messes up, I'm convicted. When I do stuff that I know is against God's word, I'm convicted. And the reason I'm convicted is because I'm saved and I have the ever-abiding, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit will convict you when you go against God's word. That's how you know you have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And here's number three. What idols am I bowing to in my life? What are you bowing to this morning? What are you worshiping? Anything that you put on the same level as God or above God and it can compete with God, that's your idol. So Friday, I'm on the way to a meeting. As I'm going to a meeting, there's an accident that happens right in front of me. Car hit each other. Boom! I said, ooh, I'm glad that wasn't me. I'm pumping my gas. I'm all excited. I'm praying for him, God, in the name of Jesus. You know how holy we get. I'm praying for him that everybody is all right and nobody is hurt. I get right on I-10, get right to Chimney Rock, make that left. I'm going to avoid all the traffic on I-10, Jeremy. I get right to Chimney Rock Memorial. Boom, dude hit me from behind. I said, oh, I'm acting crazy in the car. I'm glad y'all didn't see me. Oh, man, I got a new car. Man, my car is 6 months old. Man, what are you doing? And the guy sees me. He sees me. He's looking at me. And I can see he started getting upset and frightened. I said, calm down, pastor. You better be good at talking to yourself. Remind yourself of who you are. I said, calm down, pastor. All right, pastor. All right, I'm good. I get out the car. Young guy. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I said, oh, he must have seen how crazy I was acting. I'm so sorry. I'm going to pay for that. I said, man, no problem, no problem. This is my second accident in 2 years where I've been rear-ended. And here's what happened. My first thought went back to what happened a year ago when a guy rear-ended me in Summerwood. He hit me and took off. I'm about to throw myself under the bus. Y'all pray for me. And I chased that joker. I'm just real, coach. I need prayer. Pray for me every day. See, I'm authentic. He said, I know. He said, thank you. Hey, I'm just real. You don't like real, you got to go to the other church. Mitchell, I chase this joker, right? He know the dog. He know me in middle school. I used to fight a lot in middle school. So I chased this joker. I said, God, I know you delivered me, but he got to get the business. Chase him through Summerwood. I'm sorry. And I said, wait a minute. I'm in a neighborhood. Kids can run off. Slow down. The dude went into a cul-de-sac. God forgive me. I blocked that cul-de-sac. I said, he ain't gonna do me like this. All that's going through my mind on Friday. The guy last year got the car. I'm sorry, boss man, boss, I'm having the insurance. Come look at my car. I looked at my car, nothing. He had not damaged anything. Could that be I was worshiping my car a year ago? This Friday, Boom. Get out. Same thing. Hey, man, you're good. I'm going to pay for everything. My car's messed up. You'll see it outside. I said, no worries. You good? Yes, sir. I'm good. Can we pull over to the side? And that thought came back. I said, man, I pull over. This joke will go jet. I make that left. We pull over. He didn't. We got out. I called my boss. You need to call the police. You know how you wives do it. Just blowing it up. Call the police right now. File a report, dude. I said, baby, calm down. I have you on speakerphone. He can hear it. The dude just walking around stressing. I said, I'll take care of it. You need to do it. I said, I got it. Call the police. They didn't show up for an hour. I said, hey, how about we exchange information? Man, I don't have my insurance. I said, oh. This is a new car. I just bought it a week ago. I said, I'm about to get got. That's slang for he's about to do me. He's about to get out of here. He said, you know what? I'm going to take care of everything. He got the phone with my insurance taken care of. He said, I promise you, when I get home, I'm going to call and give you the policy number to my insurance. He did that. I get home. I get a call from Progressive. That's my insurance. I get a call from State Farm. Everything is good. We're going to take care of it. We want to make sure it's repaired. He feels so bad. That messed up my day. I'm just being real this morning. And around 4 o'clock, I'm sitting there on the couch. And don't you hate it when God just show up at the wrong times? And coach, I still hadn't gotten over it. And it was almost like the Holy Spirit said, oh, so you walked away and he walked away. He just damaged the left side right underneath your tailpipe. It could have been worse. But you're more focused on that little damage, and the guy showed you he had character. Don't worship the stuff that I bless you with. Come this morning, what's your idol? Because God is going to put you in the fire to challenge your thought process of stuff that you have in front of him that you're worshiping. An idol is any person, anything, any thought that you place beside or above God. That day, my idol was my car. So, with the time that I have left, I want to give you an idea of what it means to develop commitment, give you some takeaways, and then we'll close out. On the screen, developing commitment. If you don't get it all, we'll make sure it be developing commitment. John Maxwell says this, and all of this is in a story. It usually begins with the struggle. That we're struggling in some area of our lives, and it's pushing against our commitment to God. Secondly, it seldom surrounds ability or character. That's why when people tell me about how gifted they are and how much, great, bless you. I'm glad you're gifted. I'm glad you can sing to the hair stands up on my arms. Great. Are you committed? Here's the third thing. It is a result of choice, not condition. It's your choice to be committed. It has nothing to do with your condition or your plight in life. These boys had already made it up in their mind that they will be committed no matter what happens in their life. How about you this morning? No matter what comes your way, will you be committed to your relationship with this holy God who is sovereign, who may not pull you out of the fire, but he has enough power to get in the fire and give you everything that you need? Fourth, it is fostered when we settle the issue before it arises. You got to settle in your heart that even before it rises, that you will be committed. Now, it may be out of order up there, but you're getting it. Will you foster it? Will it be settled in your heart before a situation comes that will challenge your commitment? Here's the next thing. When you're committed, it is enhanced by deep trust in God. I don't know who you are this morning, but I want to speak to you. You're in a fiery trial. The trial is designed to deepen your trust and faith in him. That's what the trial is designed for. Don't fight it. Enjoy the journey. It's going to deepen your faith. You can't get to where God wants you to get in your life if you don't go through the fire and if he doesn't challenge your faith. But if he challenges your faith, remain committed. Here's the last thing. It lasts when we remain single-minded. Single-mindedness. That you have to be singular focused on your commitment to God. If he leave, I'm still committed. If they lay me off, I'm still committed. If my children are crazy, I'm still committed. If dad died, I'm still committed. If God calls my mother home, I'm still committed. It has to be made up in your mind. So here's the key takeaways, and let's see if we can see them in the text. Number one, commitment, when you are really committed, commitment brings critics. Here we go. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. For this reason, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. So here are the potentates, the Chaldeans. They're watching the three boys, watching them. Okay, the music is playing, but they're not bowing. Those are critics. And every day, critics are watching you. They're watching your commitment. They're watching your walk because they're going to bring an accusation against you. So in verse 9, they responded and said to the king, O king, live forever. Now, didn't you say that at the sound of the music that everybody should bow? Verse 11. Now, didn't you say that whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace? Now, king, there are certain Jews over there. They refuse to bow, and they refuse to worship the golden image which you have set up. The critics will come and challenge your commitment. Don't be upset with critics. Critics are who they are. Critics. They're going to criticize. Now, she thinks she's holy. Now, everybody else is drinking. Why she can't drink? Beer is not sinful. But why she can't drink like we can drink? Well, maybe she has some convictions. Well, she thinks she's better than everybody. Now, you know she sings on the praise team. Well, you know, church every Sunday. You know, she thinks she's better than us. No, she doesn't think she's better than you. She just has certain convictions that drive her commitment. So where is your conviction? Realize that critics will show up. That's their job. And they will show up in the open because they've been watching you. They're your rivals. Sometimes they're jealous of your position in life. You do know that people even in the church get jealous. People of your job get jealous because they're watching how committed you are. Don't worry about the critics. Let the critics be the critics, because God will deliver you not from the critics, but he will deliver you in the fire to show you, although you got critics, I'm right here with you. Don't worry about the critics. So this week, I came home Wednesday. My wife has been going through something on the job. Racism. And it's funny how it works, right? Can I just give me an extra five? Can I just be real this morning? My goal is to develop a multicultural church. And we got to understand, racism is not dead. We think it is. And here's what I hear from some of my friends. You know, though nobody get offended. Black folks just too sensitive. And then I hear from my black friends, the white people just don't understand. If they walk a mile in my shoes, there's a medium somewhere in there. But I got home Wednesday. I come in, my wife's crying. She's frustrated because of a critic. She has a staff that's blatantly open with her racism. She's in the fire. And I said, baby, and I caught myself because we want to fix it. I'm about to impress and impose my thought on my wife. But I slowed down, Brock, and I heard my wife's heart. And I said, baby, let HR deal with it. Don't allow that to stop your commitment. That's a trial, guys. The critics are watching. Don't allow that stuff to stop you. Here's the second thing. God can use the fire to fortify your commitment to Him. He's going to use that fire that you're in to fortify it. And you mad because you're arguing back and forth with your husband? Maybe that's a fire. And God is saying, stop trying to beat him in an argument. Trust me. Let me fortify your faith in the midst of it and let me take care of it. Do more praying than worrying. Do more praying than complaining. Trust me. Maybe I want you to pray for him and not badger him. Woo, that's tough. But I'm also talking to the men too. The fire will fortify you. Here we go. Verse 20. Verse 19, the fiery furnace is heated up 7 times more than normal. And some of you right now, you're in the fire and it's hotter than normal. And you're burning up. It's hot. Good. I'm glad it's hot. Verse 20, the king commanded the warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and ordered to cast them, this is about to get good, into the fiery, blazing fire. Verse 21, don't miss this. Then these men were tied up in all of their clothes. They were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Verse 22, for this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been extremely hot, the flames of the fire slew those men who carried these boys. Sometimes the fire is designed to burn off some of the people that's in your life who's trying to throw you in. Oh, did you see that right there? God's got the fire hot. And he's allowing them to carry you to the fire. But in the end, the fire is not going to burn you. It's going to burn them off your life. Have you been there? It's some people that you're running with and that you're walking with. And the fire is hot. And God is trying to tell you, leave them cats alone. Okay, you won't leave them alone. I'll turn the fire up. And the fire will burn them off them. You have to recognize that. But let's keep walking the text. So we saw the fire is turned up. Verse 23, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of fire, still tied up. I underline that. Verse 24, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded. He stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was there not three cast bound into the midst of the fire? And they replied, certainly, O king. Wait a minute, fellas, I see four. And not only do I see four, they're loose. And they're walking around in the midst of the fire with no harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God. Come here, Cheryl. Come here, Miss J. Come here, Erica. Come here, Aaron. And we're done. Three Hebrew women. Come here, Aaron. Come here. The fourth, the incarnate Christ, is watching the whole thing. And he's watching all these ladies be tied up. Mark, give me a cable real quick. This is fresh. It's falling right now out the bag, one of the wires. They're tied up. They're not complaining. I'm imagining my heart and mine, they're praising God. They're praising God. Yeah, hallelujah, they're praising God. They're not complaining, and they are in the midst of the fiery furnace. And the whole time, Jesus is watching everything. They are not worried about how they're going to get the fire. Yes. You know why? Because this is not the first time they've been in the fire. Yes. Hold this. And it won't be the last time. They're in the fire. But all of a sudden, when they're thrown in, the stuff that had them bound, burn off them. God desired a fire to burn off the stuff that has you bound. What has you bound this morning? The fire will burn that junk off. But watch this. Not only did it burn it off, show up, Jesus. And y'all just walk around loosed. God is trying to just loose some of y'all this morning. Just walk around loose. Jesus, you can walk around too. Loosed. They are loose. Don't miss that. Instead of Jesus doing this, Jesus could have easily said, you know what? I'm going to stand there and call them to me. Go to him. He decided to do this. Walk back. Instead of me calling them, I'm going to get in with them. Stop worrying about how Jesus does his job. Just let him do it. If he called you out of the fire, praise God. If he gets in the fire with you, praise God. Just as long as he's with me, praise God. And some in the fire this morning. And you worried about him pulling you out. Quit it. Be concerned about him getting in the fire with you. Because if he in the fire with you, he'll show you fresh and new things about himself. God bless you this morning. He's in the fire with you. He's in the fire. And lastly, write this down. Thank you for my extra 5 minutes. Our commitment to Christ should identify who we are. Your commitment should identify who you are. The king pulls the three boys out. He makes a decree. Anybody, I'm summarizing, that says anything about their God will be ripped from limb to limb. You know why he said that? Because their identity stood out. And then he promoted them again. I can't promise you you're going to get a new car. I can't promise you you're going to get a new house. I can't even promise you you're going to get a raise. But if you remain committed, promotion is on the way. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Promotion is on the way. Just stay committed, young bro. He's going to elevate you in due season. Promotion is on the way. Do I have anybody who's looking for a promotion this morning? I'm raising my hand. I'm looking for some promotions in my life. And I'm not talking about money. Yes. Promotion, an increase of joy, yes. Of peace, yes. Of a blessed marriage, yes. Of children who know God. Let your identity be found in him. He'll promote you. Amen. To be continued. Father, thank you for commitment.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.